Well, glory. You got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Thank God. I'm glad I got the Word of God. It's inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible. It's God-breathed. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad I don't have a fairy tale book. I got the book. Somebody help me. And good to be in church this morning. Good to know I'm on the winning side. Well, my goodness, see such a great crowd on a wintry day. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. I had prayed that it would snow a little bit late this evening for Brother Jared Shoemate, and maybe God will answer your prayer, brother, my prayer. Exodus 32. There, you folks that are listening by the live stream, I want to welcome you today. We still have folks sick. I think of Cindy Elkins. She hadn't been here for weeks. She's been really ill. I see her hubby here today. I think her, the McGrews, the Harris. When you're here, I look for you. Your wife's still sick. Been praying for y'all. There's just a lot of folk been under the weather. How many been under the weather, but you're back in church this morning? Raise your hand. And now that's good. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be here? Exodus chapter number 32. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for a mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he lost his temper. I say amen right there. He cast the tablets out of his hands, and he broke them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Woo! So much for these little flyweight preachers. And Moses said unto Aaron, what do these people unto thee, and that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. Boy, Aaron's trying to get out of hot water. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall be before thee. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not that what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any god, let them break it off. Any gold, let them break off. So they gave it to me. Then I just cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. I thought y'all'd get that. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses, here's what I want you to notice, stood in the gate of the camp and said, here's what I'm magnifying today, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto the Lord. I want to preach this morning on this subject. Who is on the Lord's side? Can I say this to you this morning, you Bible students, you people, maybe you're not as studied in the Bible. Can I tell you that the Bible, it may surprise you, but the Bible makes a lot of sense. Let me say that again. I don't know if I think that went right over some of your head. Can I say to you, the Bible makes a whole bunch of sense. Somebody help me preach. It's not a confusing book. It's not a book you can't figure out. By the way, I kind of figure all this out. It's not a book. Hey, by the way, this is a book that's kind of clear. Who's on the Lord's side? Man, let me introduce you. Let me build me a little porch here, Brother Ray. I'm about feeling some preach coming on this old man. Let me tell you what. You said, what's the book of Exodus about? It was about an Exodus. If you study the book of Exodus, it shows the deliverance of the children of Israel after 400 years of bondage. God raised up a man. By the way, God will always raise up a man. Somebody help me. God will always raise up a person to bring deliverance. And Moses was that man of God that brought deliverance. And by the way, they went from bondage to blessing. I'm glad when I was in bondage of sin, when I was lost on my way to hell, thank God, God sent the God man to the cross of Calvary, and he died for my sins, and I'm saved, saved, saved this morning. Hallelujah. Let me just take you up. I'm going to take you from that point right up to where I'm preaching this morning in Exodus 14. We've seen the great miracle of the Red Sea. By the way, some of you may have some big obstacles in your life. It's not a rod this morning. It's not even Moses. I want you to know there's a God that will take you through your Red Sea. There's a God that will take you across on dry ground. But not only do that, my God will swallow up the enemy. Am I preaching? Exodus 15, we see the song of deliverance. Exodus 16 and 17, we see the defeating of Amalek. If you study the Bible, Amalek is a type of the flesh. In Exodus 18, 19, we see the manna that was sent and the quail. I want you to know something. You look at me right in my eyeball. God will take care of our needs. I want to tell you how good God was in the Old Testament. Man, I'm about to get shot right here. Y'all all know me. Right now I'm on the low, not my lowest end, my diet, but not too far from my lowest. I've gained about 30 pounds from my lowest. And you know, how many knows anything about losing weight? That when you lose weight, you lose sizes. Y'all, I'm going somewhere here. You'll shout in a minute. And when you gain weight, you gain sizes. And then if you wear clothes long enough, they'll wear out. You know what? God gave them quail. God gave them manna. And even God let their clothes never wax old. Wave at me if you love God. Well, hallelujah. Then in chapter number 19, God delivers the law of God to Moses. Chapter 24, Moses goes back up in the mountain. This time, not alone. He went back up in the mountain. This time, Joshua was with him. This time, he stays up there for a little while. While he was up in the mountain, the people were down playing the fool. By the way, there's a whole bunch of people down here today playing the fool. Somebody help me preach right there. And now, I want you to zone in on the statement. Here's where I'm getting to the message. And then Moses, when he comes back off that mountain with Joshua, he just makes a statement. I'm going to say this to every one of you in Taze Valley. I want to say this to every one of you listening on live stream. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Oh, here, let me say this. He didn't say, who's not on the devil's side? Oh, come on, help me here. No. You know what? There's a bunch of Christians. I might as well just, can I just preach this? They mingling in the middle. Come on now. They not on the devil. They say not on the devil's side. That doesn't look right. And they're not on God's side. That doesn't feel right. Am I preaching? Yeah, some of you, you're mingling in the middle. Huh. That might work for a little while, sir. Hey, ma'am, that may work a little while. Hey, backslider. Hey, rebel. That may work a little while. But when God starts turning the heat up on you, that ain't going to work. Somebody help me right there. Hey, you know what some people want? They want part-time Christianity with full-time benefits. So, well, help me. By the way, this question exposes who they are. Where you stand, hey, is where you're living right now. Somebody help me preach right there. Hey, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers. Well, I'm glad I'm planted in Jesus. I'm glad I'm on the rock. I want you to, will you follow in your Bible? I want you to follow in your Bible the story. I want you to know three or four things, and I'll be done. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 32. I want you to notice the decline into corruption. The Bible said, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Hello. Hey, how many got the scene here? Hey, by the way, this is the same crowd that saw God smite the firstborn. This is the same crowd that saw all the miracles. You know, there's some of you, God has been so good to you. You've seen miracles in your life. You've seen miracles in other people's life. And you're just standing there like, I'm in some kind of neutral. I'm glad I got a God of miracles. Now, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I want you to notice three or four things under this. In verse number 1, the removal of accountability. See, here's what happened. The person that was in charge left. Somebody help me preach right there. By the way, that happens a lot with parents and children. By the way, I try to raise my children up that when I'm gone, they still know what to do is right. Am I preaching? Hey, by the way, really what happened here is Moses left. And by the way, sometimes when the cat's away, the mice will play. Moses was gone. But I want you to know something. There was still Christianity. And hey, it's not just exclusive to the church. It's exclusive to your personal relationship with God. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. You might fool the preacher, but you're not going to fool God. By the way, when you're on the Lord's side, it doesn't matter who's watching. By the way, I ain't watching your Facebook. It's too disgusting. But God's watching your Facebook. There's people cuss on that stuff and do all kinds of wicked. By the way, as of tomorrow, I'm totally off of it. I done defriended a bunch of people. They're crazy. But I want you to know something. God watches your Facebook. God watches your life. God knows all about everything. Amen. Somebody help me preach right there. You say you got turned loose this morning. I just want you to know who's on the Lord's side. You know, hey, your computer will tell you whose side you're on. Your social media, your friends will tell you whose side. But I say, my friend, if you're on God's side, people will know it. Thank you. Verse number 1, not only the removal of accountability, the restlessness of attitude. Look here. Here's what happened. That crowd got up. You know what they done? They got up and started wanting other gods. Then I see verse 2, the ridiculousness of their religion or their allegiance. Look in verse 2. Will y'all look here? And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. Here we got a priest manufacturing false gods. By the way, we see that in most churches. We got a bunch of people, all they do is follow man. I want you to know something. I've been here for 39 years. I'm pretty well transparent. Don't follow me, friend, because I'm a failure in myself. You follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody say amen. You know what it is? If a man leads, you're ready to go. If this guy leads, you're ready to go. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not resting on the ridiculous allegiance. I'm resting on Jesus this morning. Not man worship. Be careful when the pastor's so holy that maybe they thought he was left out of the Trinity. Be careful that person you put up on a pedestal Probably they were left out of the Trinity. I'll tell you what we got in our churches. I'm not just flat get preaching now. We got too much man worship. People worship. This singer sings great. That singer don't sing great. That preacher preaches great. Listen to Emily. They're preaching the word of God and they're called by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm for them.
Amen.
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 Am I preaching?
Amen.
You said, you done lost me. I'm mad right now. Hey, listen, turn the cat around. I don't give a flip. You mad or not?
Right.
You've been mad your whole life. Some of you people that's here for the first time, just take your nerve pill. Everything will be all right. I'm going to, brother. Let me give you another thing under this point. Some of you want me to get off this point. The recklessness of their actions. Look at verse number 6. Are y'all there? Look at verse number 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings. And brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I want to tell you something. Moses was having church. And they were playing. I want you to know something. That sometimes, you know what? They got them a little calf and they're playing with it. You know, sometimes I just wonder. While some people are up in the mountain praying and praising God and they're in church. And there's other people just play church. It's a game to them. They know all the words. They know how to say them. Am I preaching? And there's some of you, you ain't going to get this. Because you don't hold out the wickedness. But there might be somebody here that still wants to stand on the Lord's side. Number 2, I want you to notice this. Verse 7. The disgust of the Creator. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Whew. You said, preacher, what did they do? 4 things. They followed wickedness. I want you to know something. Marguerite tells me that I preach too hard on Facebook. She says that in Twitter and Instagram and but I'll be honest with you. There's so much wickedness on that stuff. I'll be honest with you. It's insulting. And if you think it upsets me, well, you think how much God is disgusted with it. And then they forsook the way. There's a whole bunch of people that got so far. Hey, I want y'all to know, I'm drawing a line this morning. We're not Calvinists here. That's the wrong way. Let me say another thing. We're not charismatics here. That's the wrong way. And some of you may not like this one, but we're not in the contemporary movement either. And we're not going to do it. I'm not doing it in my preaching. The choir's not going to do it in their singing. The special's not going. How many was refreshed by that trio this morning singing the old-fashioned songs of Zion? And then verse 9, we see the folly of their worship. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Oh, yeah. I want to tell you what. I'd just like to see some of y'all ever fall into worship. I'm Jared. I'm talking about a folly of worship. I know some people, this is awful, but I'm going to say it. You know what? Some people's worship is, it's personality driven. If one my favorite friend sings, I'll shout. I want y'all to know something. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. I want you to know something. I'll shout, and I don't care who's singing, if it's God's song. How many looked at my Facebook yesterday and saw that song I posted on it? Man, you need to listen to it. Oh boy, it was good. And you know what? It's not in my style. Not really. It was a college formal choir. Am I right? Did you hear it? But I want you to know something. I lost my mule. men and whoever them people, there was about 1,000 people in that life. There's people running all over them that kind of polished. They were real polished. We ain't much polished here in West Virginia, but they were real polished. But I will tell you something. I shouted. They shouted. Let me tell you, let's get out of personalities and let's start serving God and worship Him because He's high and lifted up. Then the fierceness of His wrath. I better hurry, my Lord. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. I will make of thee a great nation. Man, I'm going to tell you, how many believe? By the way, I don't want to be on the wrong side of God when He's mad. Some of y'all paint God. I know you said, well, He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God. He is. But He is also a God of wrath. Then I want you to notice the third thing. Look at verse 11. Dear Lord. Verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God. He said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. The descent to chaos. I want you to know something. There was somebody that cared for them. I want you to know, do you care? Now, I'm preaching hard this morning, but I want to tell you something. Everyone you fans, I care about you. I care if you're going to turn out right. I care if your kids are going to turn out right. I care if you're worshiping God right. Moses cared. I'll jump at them real quick, and I want you to notice the commission to the scene. Boy, oh boy. And the Lord said in verse 7 again, Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. You know, he told him, grab the tablets. Somebody help me. Not a notebook. Not a Norman Vincent Peale book. Not a Schuller book. Not the works of Mohammed. Not Mary Baker, Eddie Glover, whatever her name is, books. Not the Book of Mormon. No. Take the tablets. Take the word. Somebody help me. Then I want you to notice, boy, can't I get off that one? The demand for commitment. Now I want you to slow down a minute. I'm not asking you to commit one thing to me this morning. But I am asking you to commit to God. And look at verse 20. Are y'all there? Moses took the calf, he took the calf, which they made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder. He destroyed the idol. Boy, look at this thing. He done confronted Aaron about it too, by the way. Aaron said, you know, Moses, you know them? You know them people, Moses? Hey, Moses, you know them? He said, they give me all that stuff. I just threw it in the fire. And pop! Out come a calf. Ain't that a bunch of junk? These are God's people. Destroy the idol. That thing you said, bam, it just came. You spoil, you destroy it. And some of you, you got little idols in your life. You got little things that have taken over in your life. God says, destroy them. Some of you here lost without God. You've been on the devil's side your whole life. God says, who's on the Lord's side? You got to get rid of that idol. And the disgrace of indecency. Man, they got naked. Now, this is Come on, somebody help me. And y'all reading the story? Who got them naked? The priest got them naked. So I just say, you read your book. I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of unholy people trying to preach today. Amen. And pastor today. And they're leading their people in some kind of form of religion. And it's debasing. It's indecent. It's wicked. It's filthy. I won't tell you what. I got a salvation that'll deliver you from pornography. That'll deliver you from filth. It won't take your clothes off. It'll put some clothes on. Say amen. I get real sick and tired of people dressing like hookers. And men acting like, I saw some fat man the other day. He's bigger than I was. Had on skinny jeans. Now, you women that can wear them, God bless your little heart. But I want you to know something. I ain't putting none of them things on. I look like a freak. Am I preaching? Oh, hey. Then the directness of instruction. You look at the directness of instruction. Who's on the Lord's side? And you know what? The only ones that stood up and came to Moses were the children of Levi. Am I preaching? Oh, boy. And then the dealing of the consequences in verse 27, 28. Would y'all look at this for me? How many there say amen? And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel, or Levi, did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Moses said, consecrate yourselves today. Even every man upon his son and every man upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing. There was a 3,000 person slaughter. I want to say this. I'm not going to tell you that God's going to kill you. Though he has killed some. But you know, when you're not on the Lord's side, something really dies. You know what I've seen? Some people not on the Lord's side, their touch from God has died. Their excitement has died. Their prayer life has died. Jared, you and I preach to people every week. We see some of them. Their joy is dead. Their praise is gone. By the way, if men gave you your praise, it won't be much to take it away. Their anointing is gone. And some of you, you remember some times you were anointed. Maybe in your singing. Maybe in your preaching. Maybe in a testimony. But it's gone. And you said, well, I just got to blame that or him. No. You're mingling in the middle. And you're not on God's side. I wonder how many in this congregation has enough nerve to come to the altar this morning and proclaim to God, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. I wonder how many of you here this morning, you're lost, and if you die, you'll be burning in hell. You've been on the devil's side too long. And you say this morning, no more! I want to be on God's side. I don't want to die and burn in hell. I don't want to be in hell forever. I've been following the crowd. I've been following liquor, booze, drugs. I've been in pornography. I've been in all the wickedness, but no more. I'm burning the idols. I'm turning from my idols to serve the living God. Stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. How many know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand if you know it. Some of them up high. God bless you. Thank you. Folks are already at the altar. Anybody else say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I don't know for sure I would go to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Pray, then you want me to pray for you. Raise your hand. Come on. I see that hand. Sir, are you saved? You never been saved? Won't you come on? Just come on. That's right. You want to be saved? Come on. Come on, son. I've been praying for you all night for the man that would get saved this morning. Come on, son. Come on out there. Get saved. Somebody, Jared Tate, lead him to Christ right now. He wants to be saved. Anybody else want Jesus, want to be saved this morning? Raise your hand. Just raise them up and say, man, yes, sir. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, sir. Come on. Somebody get on God's side this morning. Somebody. Come on, son. I need another man. Come here, Colton. Oh, Michael, lead this boy to Jesus. How many others say, I want to be saved? You want to be saved, son? Come on, come on. Take this boy. He wants to get saved. Somebody help. I believe this thing's about ready to get out of the banks. Now, how many of you Christians are tired of mingling in the middle? You're seeing God move in your church this morning. You're tired of mingling in the middle. And you'll come up around this altar and proclaim you're on the Lord's side. Come on right now, our Father. Touch this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Three folks. Hey. Hey, man. Check it out.
Have Jesus.
Come on. Who's that you on this morning? Hey, man. Why don't you just come up and say, God, I want more of you and less of me.
Woo!
Hey, man. Yes. Hey, man. I'm tired of being on the devil's side. I'm tired of being neutral. I'm tired of watching my Facebook and it is wicked. I'm tired. Come on. Folk get right with God. Church, say amen. Folk get right.